My name is Jill Park, and I will be reading Sarah Riley's personal essay, Lying and Other Acts of Kindness. Yellow barricade tape partitions off a room from the main hallway. From the right angle, it frames the rest of the musty bedsheets and an empty stretcher, like a crime scene. I stoop in the doorway, and something warm and ominous chugs through my veins. My neck presses into the tape's blunt edge, and in my mind's eye, the blade of a guillotine hangs above me. An old black-and-white soap opera flickers on the television. Young women with coiffures smiling at the bed. Mumbling nonsense through a lisp, a man passes in the hallway behind me, and my eyes turn to him automatically. His feet shuffle, by centimeters at a time, a pudding cup rattling between his skeletal fingers and spitting out globs of chocolate. An indifferent woman in purple scrubs follows him, humming noncommittally and looking at him like she's checking how many seconds are left on a microwave. What a wonder it must be to die in a place like this. Some time ago, my grandmother shone in her stubborn and argumentative glory, all 4'11" of it. She stuck cloisonné pins in her ears, pearls of robin's egg blue and bright gold peeking out from between the strands of her hair, black as night. Clad in her paisley blouse, she cursed at my grandfather after meticulously tending her garden, and the jumbled mix of Cantonese and English was the most natural song in the world when it fell from her lips. She smiled at street vendors in Chinatown, and sometimes everyone could see her red lipstick smeared on her teeth, and sometimes she knew it and smiled anyway. Everything about her was unconditional. Her fear, her joy, her love. So mine must be too. I walk to the dining hall, the din of clattering spoons and splatters of liquid on plastic ringing in the air. The handful of men and women that can speak hold slow conversation on clumsy tongues. This, of course, is not applicable to my grandmother, who stares dully ahead of her. If her wheelchair is normal, then she must be child-sized. Patchy gray hair, a post-apocalyptic color following the extinction of a decade-long dye job, hangs in limp wisps around her sunken face. Her face is my true north as I weave through the throngs of wheelchairs and booster seats to a nearby chair. The plastic covering squeaks beneath me. School starts up in a month. I'm excited to take chemistry again. It's my favorite class. She stares at me with her dull gaze, and my eye twitches at the crumbles of food at the corner of her lips. I'm reading some books, too. She does not respond. I bite the inside of my cheek. Do you want to see the book I'm reading? I ask without expecting an answer. It's about a young girl living in Paris during World War II. How's your brother? Grandma asks. If I bite a little harder, I will taste blood. Last time she asked about him, he was backpacking across the Indian subcontinent. This time, he's an electrical engineer sending someone to Mars. He's good, I say. She smiles, small and toothless through her chapped lips, and I return it. This is unconditional love, the love to which my grandmother introduced me at the age of 5. In that moment, she loves me. Does she hate me when she remembers? I hug her goodbye, and she calls me by my mother's name. I kiss her dry forehead and remember the woman with garden tools and red lips. My grandmother is an afterimage of the woman I once knew, the woman who made me congee on Saturdays and bought me floral silk squares from Hong Kong. But I hug her and smile, and she won't remember any of today when I visit her tomorrow. But the woman from years ago would have held my hand, kissed my cheek, and left a red imprint on my skin. Isn't this the purest unconditional love there is? To love those you cannot recognize? To feel for them though you cannot remember a face or a name, only that you love them? On my way out the door, Grandma's caretaker, Lita, asked me about my brother. He's interning at some plant in Detroit, I say. Billing cars or something. Lita frowns. Didn't you say his degree was in biology? Lita wonders. And that must have been 5 lies ago, give or take. That too. Thanks, Lita. I smile warmingly at this unknowing woman and think of the one 20 feet away. A mayfly knows when its time is up, and I am left to watch the clock strike midnight when my grandmother's memory dies with me. Every half-truth, embellished and warped beyond recognition, lives for a day before it is snuffed out, and I cannot give my grandmother back the truths any more than I can give her brain back the acetylcholine. But I can do this. It's not a lie if she doesn't remember, I think. It's not a lie when it's kind. Glancing back at the dull orange building, I can imagine myself there in 60 or 70 years, withered, cold hands discolored with the patina of years, splatters of pudding staining the collar of my shirt. I hope I have someone to lie to me then.